Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The Chancellor took to the TV studios once again this weekend amid rumours that the Cabinet was preparing to oust Theresa May and install a caretaker leader to see through Brexit's next steps. Speaking to Sophie Ridge, Philip Hammond dismissed this as a non-starter.
We're in the middle of a coup. I mean, has the Prime Minister run out of road?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. This is not about the Prime Minister or any other individual. This is about the future of our country. And changing Prime Minister wouldn't help us. Changing party in government wouldn't help us. We've got to address the question of what type of Brexit is acceptable to Parliament, what type of way forward Parliament can agree on, so that we can avoid what would be an economic catastrophe of a no-deal exit, and also what would be a very big challenge to confidence in our political system if we didn't exit at all. So we have to avoid both of those alternatives and find a way through the middle with a deal that works for Britain and guarantees our future prosperity.
Going forward, Hammond made clear that he was prepared to consider a range of Brexit options if the government's current withdrawal agreement could not advance any further.
I want to see a compromise, and the essence of compromise is that nobody gets everything they want. And what I want to hear from senior figures across Parliament is that they recognise that if this process is going to be successful, there will have to be compromises all round.
So,
what I'm hearing at the moment,
so are there any ones
what I'm hearing
at
the moment is protagonists for individual options here staking out their corner and arguing their case. But what we need to hear is people saying, you know, I prefer X, but I am perfectly content to live with Y.
Come on, then. You can lead the way.
We have to have a way forward.
We know that you prepared the Prime Minister's deal, but
I'm going to argue
you...
for the Prime Minister's deal, but the most important thing for me is that we have a way forward, which means we leave the European Union with a negotiated settlement, with the withdrawal agreement, and then we can move on as a nation. And I do believe that we have a bright future in front of us, but only if we do this in a smooth and orderly way.
I noticed that you didn't take the second referendum off the table. I mean, is it something that you could accept, for example, if the Prime Minister's deal goes through Parliament on the guarantee that it will then be put to a public vote?
So I'm not sure that there's a majority in Parliament in support of second referendum, but it's a perfectly coherent proposition. Many people will be strongly opposed to it, but it's a coherent proposition, and it deserves to be considered along with the other proposals that you've got on the list.
Andrew Marr was joined by the Brexit Secretary Stephen Barclay. The government is preparing to hold a range of so-called indicative votes on a possible alternative routes for Brexit next week. Barclay told Marr that the outcome of these votes would not be binding on the government.
You could ignore the vote of the House of Commons on an indicative vote.
Well, potentially it would collide, as I say, with a manifesto. We would need to see that. But what would potentially be opened by the process is also whether then Parliament would go on to legislate to enforce, for example...
So that suggests the entire process is meaningless.
No, it doesn't. What I'm saying...
If you're going to ignore it, it's meaningless.
Well, we need to see whether it goes through. What I'm saying is a motion of its own, I'm stating the legal position, is that it is indicative...
Well, it's constitutional and political position too. All across the continent, all around the country, people have shouted at the House of Commons, for goodness sake, stop saying what you're against and tell us what you are for. Mm. If in these votes next week the House of Commons does finally say what it is for and the government then ignores that, then the process is literally meaningless.
No, because what Parliament has done is vote for a number of contradictory things, so we would need to untangle that. But ultimately, at its logical conclusion, the risk of a general election increases because you potentially have a situation where Parliament is instructing the executive to do something that is counter to what it was elected to do.
Marr also interviewed Barclay's shadow, Sir Keir Starmer, about Labour's position on putting a Brexit deal to the people.
If a deal goes through, if the Prime Minister's deal, if she tries it a third time, goes through, it ought to be subject to a lock or a check, which is it's got to be confirmed by the public. And I think, given the position we're in, that's the least that we now would expect.
So, under all circumstances, whether it's a Labour deal or the Prime Minister's deal or some other deal, it must go back to a referendum.
Well, the only deal there is on the table at the moment is the Prime Minister's deal. We may get to another deal, but it's still going to be put through by this Prime Minister, unless we're in extraordinary times. And so the proposition, as it were, that any deal that this Prime Minister is going to get through Parliament ought to be subject to a public vote is one that we support. And that's why we said we'll either lay our own amendment or we'll support an amendment to that end.
There will be another referendum on Europe under Labour. Yes or no?
Well, that's what we've said. We're supporting a public vote. I mean, the position we're in at the moment, we're in opposition, so we're saying that...
For any deal?
Well, we'll see what emerges from the process, but it's got to be a deal, Andrew, that the EU say they're prepared to sign up to. It's got to be something that has got through in Parliament, and at the moment that means it's going to be a deal that this Prime Minister is getting through.
One
and
last
that's
time.
Likely to be a damaging deal.
Can you guarantee that there will be another referendum on a deal if Labour come into power?
Well, that's a question, Andrew, for the manifesto.
No, is the short answer in that case.
No. It's a question for the manifesto. And every time you ask about the manifesto, I say we're working through. Mm-hmm. But let me be as clear as I can. We had a manifesto commitment last time in 2017 setting out the sort of deal we'd negotiate. We then supplemented that by our conference policy that said that, you know, in the event of an impasse, we'd have a public vote. Yeah. I would expect our manifesto to build on those commitments, both in relation to the type of deal and a public vote.
The Shadow Cabinet Minister John Trickett has told Ridge why his leader Jeremy Corbyn was unable to attend the march for a people's vote in London yesterday.
There was a million people, we're told, marching yesterday in support of a second referendum. Why wasn't Jeremy Corbyn there?
Well, he was out campaigning in Morecambe, actually, where the cockle pickers died. And look, the country wants to talk about, for instance, crime. There's a rising tide of crime. There are 20,000 less police officers on the streets. And there's great anxiety about the state of country, apart from Brexit. And
Jeremy's out there. Policy to have a second referendum.
Jeremy is out there leading the country, discussing austerity and all the other things that matter. I was in London yesterday. I was in a series of meetings, but I took a bit of time. I had conversations with people on the march. And what was interesting was there was passion, there was enthusiasm, but above all, there was fear that this government is simply lost and it's leading the country down a blind alley into a very, very dangerous moment. That was the overwhelming impression I had. It was a lovely crowd, but the job of an alternative government is try to find a way of bringing all the sides together in our country rather than dividing it in the way that the government has on a Brexit, but a Brexit which works for everybody.
Former Conservative leader Ian Duncan-Smith has hit out against the anonymous cabinet ministers who have been briefing the newspapers about their attempts to force the Prime Minister's early departure.
The way that these things are discussed is not like this. And I think she has at least the right and the dignity, they owe her that, not to behave like they've behaved today. I think around the country, in the Conservative Party and outside the Conservative Party, there will be real disgust at the behaviour of some of our cabinet ministers who are not fit for their positions if they behave like this. They should be apologising and they should shut up, for God's sake, because that's the worst thing we want.
And finally, the Green MP Caroline Lucas has said that she wouldn't wish to find herself in the Prime Minister's shoes at the moment.
Does the thought of having a new leader of the Conservative Party fill you with optimism or alarm?
It fills me with horror, to be honest. You know, we're in this whole mess because the whole referendum process grew out of a massive row in the Conservative Party and David Cameron trying to keep on board those MPs who would otherwise go and join UKIP. And yet again, we're having another fight within the Conservative Party at the time when we're facing the greatest constitutional crisis this country has faced since the Second World War. I think it is massively reckless and self-indulgent of them. I'm no fan of Mrs. May. I think she's almost uniquely incompetent at the job she's been given to do. But the problem are the contradictions within the Brexit proposal itself, this idea about how you get the hard Brexit and you also manage to somehow not have a hard border in Northern Ireland. That is at the centre of this, not the incompetence of Mrs. May.
Do you feel sorry for her?
On a personal level, you bet I feel sorry for her. I wouldn't be her for a lot of money.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free John Lewis voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily evening blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/evening blend. Thanks for listening, and join me again next week.